Hello there, and welcome to the episode number 13 of Dev Conversations by SwiftToolkit.dev, where we host developers that contribute to the Swift tooling and server ecosystem. Today, our guest is Tibor Bodex, a book and blog author at SwiftOnServer.com, and he's also a member of the Swift Server Workgroup and an open source contributor. Hey, Tibor.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining. As the regular icebreaker that I do usually, tell me a little bit about your first moments programming and later on how you got into Swift.
Well, that was quite a while ago. If I remember correctly, I think the first line of code that I wrote happened when I was 11 or something like that. I was using my old Intel machine. It was like a 486, and I was using Turbo Pascal, and I was speaking German and learning German in the school, and it was really hard to remember all those keywords and everything. And yeah, basically I loved it, every single moment of it. So that's how I got into programming. And after that, I focused on PHP. I started to learn PHP, and yeah, I was working as a backend developer for like 5 years, and then I switched to iOS development and learned Objective-C, and then Apple announced Swift, and the rest is history, I suppose.
Yeah, like many of us have this iOS background and Objective-C, and yeah, and I think Swift brought the good things about Objective-C and added more good stuff on top.
Yeah, definitely. Optionals are very hard. At least it was very hard to respond for me. But it felt so nice to leave Objective-C. And, you know, I also know a lot of JavaScript and Node.js from the server side. And Swift felt like JavaScript a lot. So it was a very good improvement over Objective-C.
Okay, today we're going to talk a little bit about server-side Swift, about the company you run, Binary Birds, and also an open source project, Toucan. And in the end, we have some surprise, something new, that I've been working for a while. Let me start from the first time maybe I saw content from you was in the swiftdev.com. When did you start? How long ago did you start?
Yeah, I started about 10 years ago. I was still working for this company. We were doing quite a lot of mobile application development. And I believe Swift was announced about a year by the time I started to write about it. And it just felt natural to write all the things that I learned. And that's how it started. And basically, I was just writing down my learnings and ideas and findings.
And what are the topics that people like the most or you enjoy the most writing about?
Yeah, in the past, I was writing quite a lot about iOS development and maybe a little bit about macOS and how to create UIs and architecture. Then in 5 years ago, I shifted towards server-side Swift articles and started to write more about the Vapor Web Framework. And yeah, that was quite a big success because everyone else was writing about iOS development, and I believe that I was able to provide a unique perspective and overall better server-side Swift content for the community.
Yeah, I totally understand, and I also feel something similar because tooling CLI tools, it's a subject that in some ways it's a niche, and also server-side. And I agree with you. I think that all the community gains from the more good content you have, and you also have you have a book about Vapor, no?
Exactly. I've written a book. It's called Practical Server-Side Swift, and it features the Vapor Web Framework, and hopefully I can update it very soon. I believe tooling is extremely important, and what you do here is pretty amazing because I'm also using Rust nowadays, and tooling is extremely good over there. And in the Swift world, we should really improve our tools and documentation and things like that.
Thank you so much for the nice words. And how your work evolved in the server area? Where did you take it? You have your own company nowadays, right?
That's right. And in the beginning, it was just me, and I was basically playing around with Vapor and trying to create some smaller engines like a blog engine. And after that, I realized that, hey, this could be something more, something serious. And when I started to create a content management system, then I realized that I simply need more people to achieve my long-term goals. And that's why we established Binary Birds. And now we are providing server-side Swift development and consulting services for our clients and customers. And yeah, hopefully we can grow in the future.
Is there any specific area that you focus more?
Our main focus is the enterprise, and we are trying to bring Swift to the enterprise world. And that's a very difficult thing to do, because nowadays mostly indie developers are using Swift on the server, and since there are no proven methods how to build big and complex applications using Swift, that's the main goal that we want to solve and achieve, and yeah, bring more people to the community and convince more companies to use Swift on the server, because it's extremely powerful, it has a low memory footprint, it's cost effective, so it has clear benefits.
But what are other challenges that you face besides this one, besides convincing them?
Yeah, one of the main challenges is that people, especially in manager roles, still believe that Swift is an Apple thing. So it's only good for building mobile applications. And it's very hard to explain them why Swift is not just only an Apple thing and how Swift evolved. But
the community is still smaller than Node.js or Rails.
That's also true. Yeah, you're absolutely right about this. And that's what we also want to change. And I think that there are two aspects of this. First, you have to get more developers involved, and you have to teach them how to use Swift on the server. And the second thing is that you have to convince decision makers to actually use Swift on the server for their upcoming projects, or to integrate it somehow with existing systems. This can be nicely done via APIs, and since we have OpenAPI generator, for example, and the protocol buffer library, our tools and frameworks are constantly evolving, and hopefully we are going to reach this goal to bring Swift to the enterprise.
And apart from trying to increase the adoption of Swift on the server in the enterprise world, what other projects are you working on?
Yeah, at Binary Birds, we are trying to build our own products, and the very first product is called Toucan. It is a static site generator, and we are heavily using it. So it's a fun project. It was announced publicly a year ago at the Server Side Swift conference, and now we are preparing for our next major milestone, and we are trying to create a theme store for Toucan.
Very cool. But what inspired you to create it? Because we already had Publish from John Sandel, for example. Why do you feel there was a need for an alternative in Swift?
Yeah, first of all, I'm a blogger, so I needed something to generate my websites. And the problem with Publish was that I had to use Swift. And since I already know HTML and CSS, I was able to create my own templates without using Swift. And as far as I can see, this is how most of the static site generators operate. And this is a huge difference between Publish or Ignite from Paul Hudson. Because if you use those static site generators, you have to use Swift to create the templates. But I believe that you should let front-end developers to build templates and themes for these kind of generators. And, you know, as a content writer, you should only focus on your content, which should be written using Markdown. And, of course, you can do this by using Publish and Ignite. But I believe that we have a slightly better model by separating the content and the teams and providing, giving the ability to front-end developers to build their own teams without knowing Swift.
I see. And how it is compared to other tools that they are not in Swift, such as Jekyll or Hugo?
Yep, quite a lot of people are using Jekyll and Hugo, and we can clearly see some issues over there, and we are also trying to migrate some websites to Toucan. And the main problem with those generators is that you mix up your content and your teams in most of the cases. At least that's what I've seen in the past. So it is very hard to split the content from the theme when we migrate to Toucan. That's the main issue with those systems. And of course, you have to install Ruby if you want to use Jekyll. Hugo is a bit more similar that we have with Toucan, since you have a binary or you can use Docker to generate the websites. So that's a little bit closer to Toucan. But I believe that we have a simply better modern approach.
And what's the current status of it? You launched a year ago. How production ready is it? What do you feel is still missing?
Yeah, I would say it's production ready. We are using it. Amazon is using it for the developer podcast website. Sebastian, also a member of the server side work group, gave me some really good feedbacks. And I think we should improve documentation a lot more. So that's definitely a big challenge for us. And we would love to hear more feedback from the community. And we should also create more and more teams to get more people on board. We would like to build more templates to get more people on board without having the need to create their own teams for Toucan. I think that's going to be a nice next step.
Definitely, that makes total sense. Now, shifting a bit into the community, as someone who wrote a book on Vapor, you probably also worked with Hummingbird, and you wrote some blog posts about it on the website with Ioannis on swiftonserver.com. And how would you compare the two frameworks? What do you recommend to people who are trying to get into the world of Swift on the server?
Yeah, so Vapor is an older and more mature framework with quite a lot of good documentation, and we have books. I wrote one. Tim has one book about Vapor, and there are quite a lot of good resources all around the internet, so it is very easy to get started with Vapor. On the other hand, since it's an older framework and it was not, it is well maintained, and the new version is gonna arrive, I don't know when, but Vapor 5 is gonna be amazing, I'm pretty sure about that. But on the other hand, Hummingbird is a new framework, and it's lightweight, it's faster, it's built using modern Swift concurrency features, and it just shines in terms of performance and extensibility and all the other features that Adam built for Hummingbird is pretty awesome. So we are actually using both frameworks at Binary Birds, and we are extremely happy with the results. And Hummingbird is fast, it's crazy good. You can use both Vapor and Hummingbird. The main difference is gonna be the number of resources and articles and guides that you find online. But Hummingbird has a pretty good example project. So if you can dig into those repositories and, you know, check out how the Hummingbird team builds on top of these foundations and libraries, then you should be on the right track to create a modern and safe application using Swift on the server.
Yeah, I agree. The examples project, whenever I have something that I want to build and I'm not sure the way to go, I check the examples repository. I'm going to leave a link to that for anyone who's interested in on it. And how you feel the Swift server workgroup is shaping the ecosystem? What are the opportunities you are seeing in the coming year and beyond?
Yeah, as a member of the workgroup, I believe that our main goal is to bring Swift to more and more people. And right now, people who are working on Swift Neo are trying to bring Neo to Windows and other platforms. And that's going to be a huge milestone. So I I've seen in the statistics on my blog that more and more people are looking for Swift on Windows and keywords related to this. So it would be amazing if Neo could work properly on Windows. I think that's going to be a huge milestone, new possibilities for server-side developers.
And any other thing you can think about?
Yeah, I'm also eager to see more and more libraries and the whole incubation process. And we are trying to provide more and more guides how to build libraries and give instructions to library authors how to build strong foundations. And that's also an important thing.
And as a member of the Swift Server Workgroup, I assume that you're going to be in a month from now in the server-side Swift conference this year in London?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm very excited about the conference this year. And as Binary Birds, we are also sponsoring the conference. And I'm eager to see all the new talks. And this year, there's going to be a workshop. And I'm very curious how that's going to turn out. And can't wait to meet all the people from the community. So exciting times.
Yeah, this year the server-side Swift conference is gonna happen on October 1st until October 3rd in London. We'll leave a link if you are interested. And the last topic of today is your book that I just published this week. So congrats for that. Learn to Code Using Swift. Tell me a little bit about it. How the idea began? Why did you decide to focus on learning to code instead of teaching existing programmers advanced things?
That's right. We just published Learn to Code Using Swift, and it is a book that we've created together with my wife. And prior to this book, she was a UX designer, and she had no knowledge how to code at all. And she was interested about learning how to code, and that's why we've created this book, to help absolute beginners to learn using Swift. And I believe that our approach will bring a unique perspective for all beginners, because she was completely new to this topic, and I have like more than 10 years of experience using Swift, and it's modern, it's up to date, it covers most of the available Swift features like modern concurrency practices, ownership, and it scales from the very beginner level to an advanced level.
And what were the biggest challenges you felt when writing the book?
I can only quote my wife. She said, "I was torn apart between rows because I was reading and practicing and writing at the same time. It just felt overwhelming for her." So that was the most difficult thing, because she had to learn, she had to write, and all these things. And personally, the hardest thing for me was to find time to review and proofread everything. And Kitty made an enormous amount of content for this book. We have like more than 600 pages, and it's going to be even more.
It's for sure a unique perspective of someone who's learning, and you have yourself making sure everything is correct. So I think that's the first book with this approach for Swift.
Yeah, I believe it has a gentle learning curve, and no prior programming experience is required, which is not just a phrase in this case. We actually try to explain all the programming concepts and other fundamental definitions in each chapter, and you know, providing hand-to-hand examples alongside, and this comes with the main content. So I believe this is quite a unique approach.
And what parts of it are you most proud of, or you want the readers to learn?
Yeah, for me, maybe the variadic generics. That's a very hard topic to understand, and I believe that even absolute beginners can easily learn and understand these kind of topics, because Kitty did a very good job explaining all of that, like variadics or ownership model. And yeah, those are extremely difficult topics, generics, concurrency, things like that. And we can't wait to get more and more feedback about the book and improve it over time, because you know, it's like a software, it's never ready. So that's the reason why we started a private Discord server, and whoever buys the book, feel free to join and ask questions. And we are there to provide support and help and also incorporate the feedback and provide more and more updates over time. And I think this book is also great for more experienced developers, because when I was proofreading some chapters, I even learned some new stuff, which was unbelievable after like using Swift for a decade. So yeah, it should be good for anyone interested to deepen their Swift knowledge.
Amazing. Yeah, that for sure, when you prepare content about it, that's when you learn the most. We're going to leave a link to the Gumroad page here for anyone who might be interested in the book and support your work. To wrap up, if you could give one piece of advice to a beginner Swift developer and to an advanced Swift developer, what would they be?
Yeah, for beginners, I would say that don't be afraid to ask questions and contribute and go to the forums, go to Discord and Slack channels. Like, there is the open source Swift channel. It's a Slack channel. Go there, ask questions, and go to the Swift forums and post topics over there. Ask your questions. And I believe this is a very helpful and nice community, and we don't bite. So feel free to ask anything.
We spoke about Hummingbird and Vapor. We forgot to mention they also have great Discord servers.
Yeah.
We're also gonna leave links for them.
For advanced developers, I would say learn concurrency, modern concurrency. I know it's a mess and it's very hard to grasp on isolation and actors and the syntax and the keywords. Maybe that seems too much at first sight, but I believe that it is worth it. And it's better on the server side. I know it's frustrating when you try to build an iOS app and you have to mark all your types and functions with those keywords. But it's way better on the server side. And let's hope for the best. And I believe that Apple will improve the developer experience, because it's very important to build safe and modern applications. That's going to be a foundation of future apps. So learn concurrency.
Yeah, that's something I haven't done to the full extent of it, and it's still on my to-do list. If people want to find you online...
Yeah, feel free to reach out to me using my email address, my blog, or on social media. I'm happy to answer all of your questions.
Perfect. We'll leave links in any case. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much, Tibor, for joining and sharing your insights. And we'll catch you in the next one.